Welcome to the Shutdown Fullcast. I am Spencer Hall, editor of Every Day Should Be Saturday. I also work for SB Nation. I'm here to discuss college football, as we are every week. But this, on a particularly momentous week, let me say this. A lot of teams that were undefeated coming into this weekend, guess what, y'all? They got them a loss. They got marked. They done got their allotment of losses started. Because quite a few teams finally lost a game, but not Alabama. Remember, Alabama always a step ahead. Alabama always more equipped, more bodied, deeper, just playing chess when everyone else is playing, not even checkers, but like Candyland. They're just pulling cards, man. What did Alabama do this weekend that was so above the level of everyone else's competence? Jason Kirk, our college football editor, what did Alabama refuse to do, thus avoiding all of the problems?
Bama refused to play football. Wise. While these other teams that had zeros in their records were out here like 2000s era sneakerheads and picking up ones, you know what I mean, in their records, Bama was just sitting pretty, real pretty.
Always a step ahead. Nick Saban's brilliance never ceases to amaze. Foreseeing a weekend when all would go sideways for everyone who played Alabama, wisely engaged ye old bye week this week. Roll Tide, y'all. I mean, I keep waiting for a stumble, and yet again, even in this week, Alabama triumphs. So, truly our greatest national resource for football excellence, the Alabama Crimson Tide. Ryan Nanny joining us from Brooklyn. You know, how's your dad rage? You weren't really prepared for this, but become a father, you inherit a vast reservoir of dad rage. How are you handling it?
Is rage the right term for it? Because I don't necessarily feel angry. I just feel like slightly. Yeah,
dad,
you're right.
Perturbedness.
It's rage. It's rage.
Just a constant state of, God dang it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's. I have an emotional pine cone firmly lodged up my ass, and
it's
good. Will always be there.
Yeah, it's there now.
You just inherited it. I've discussed this before. The word "goddamn it" became especially precious to me. I say it with more feeling and greater savor than I ever did before I had kids. And when I doubled up, it just became all that much richer. Do you have a profanity that you prefer to resort to?
Not yet. I think I'm getting there still. I am trying to sort of mind what is said around the child. My wife probably has one.
No words are being understood yet, though. So yeah, you're free. You're free to express yourself.
I hear what you're saying, but I also feel like it's one of those things where the minute you start dropping motherfucker and asshole a lot around your infant child, 2 weeks later, science is like, oh, guys, quick update. Yeah, they hear all of that. All of that is coming through. Sorry about that.
Something Scientology would tell you. Like, there's an alien in her mind recording all the stuff.
Exactly, on a reel-to-reel tape that only somebody with an e-meter can hear.
Yeah. I think it's more disregard, I think, at this point. That most of the other things in the world I feel emotionally severed from, because I just don't, it's not that I don't care about them, it's that I can't care about them. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where it's just like, yeah, okay, that happened, but like I can care about that or I can sleep. I can care about that or I can take the trash out. I feel, it's like being a Sim. There's no point in the Sims where they're like, why doesn't your Sim care about the state of the world or think about, you know, the broader implications of death or consider something they can do to better themselves? It's like, nah, man, you got meters and you got to fill them or you're going to piss yourself and set the oven on fire.
You got to try doing that, too. It's really interesting.
You're going to be trapped in a fort made of sofas forever.
I mean, That shit. We just covered the Florida Georgia game right there.
I'll be honest. After a night staying up late and then hanging out with some kids today, you could probably trap me in a fort. It's only made of pillows. It would not be hard. I'd just give up. Like, fine.
That's one of those where it's like, oh, no, not in the fort made of pillows.
No.
Oh, no. Anything but that.
The perfect crime.
My Texas flag says, come and take it. Not come and take it, but no, come and take it.
Please.
Please.
Snatch the life out of these lungs.
Leave it there.
You know what the cooling bills for the Alamo are? Please take it.
Please tread on me.
But I'm gonna rally. I'm not going down like this. I'm going to find something inside of me. God, you know what? A little support would be fucking nice.
Oh, buddy. No, it's just like where you are going the others have gone before. Like,
oh, this it'll be different.
Yeah, uh-huh. Listen,
I'm gonna survive the Sarlacc pit. You'll see.
Listen, in 3 years, let's revisit this.
If we're doing this podcast in 3 years, what the fuck happened?
I mean, it becomes
even more lucrative.
Jesus. I'm saying when we are on NBC,
oh, okay,
doing this program, NBC Sports sometimes will dabble, but main NBC, yeah, we'll revisit this topic.
So were the judges on The Voice?
Can we go full shitty radio guy at that point?
Absolutely. Yes. Where we have fake voices we just invent for this, right? Or we have topics that are basically just, did you see? Like, oh, you know, did you see with the election? Did you see that? It's crazy.
Really something.
Yeah, you can call us. we get paid to talk, so you should talk.
We'll just sit and listen.
If gay marriage is so great, how come a gay married man hasn't won the national championship?
Yeah, you could just dial in. I'm tired of all these
I'm just speaking truth here, man. Look it up. These are facts.
Yeah, these are facts, and I'm not really going to let what people say is comfortable or cool or not flagrantly racist dictate what I say, man. Like, for instance, you know what? Topic today, Cam Newton. How about that guy?
That guy.
You see what he wore? You see what he wore, right? The clothes on his body?
The clothes he wore. You folks, you got to go to our website, 901thesports.com,
to see
this photo that we posted. Like, the radios guy, they do that. Like, go to our Facebook page. It's the only place on the internet with a photo of Cam Newton on it. You can see it there and leave a comment on a radio station's Facebook page.
Oh,
that'll be the place to move minds.
We put Sonic the Hedgehog's tail on him. We didn't care.
our show will be called Call of Duty Infinite Warfare. I'm sure the video game company will be fine with that. And we'll give everybody badges and ranks that we keep very poorly, right? Like Mel from Southwest Atlanta calls in and we're like, hey, Mel, yeah, that's a 32 ranker.
Achievement unlocked, brother!
Yeah, and there's somebody screaming in like they do in the game. Like,
level 33!
Oh, that's a kill shot! That's a kill shot to Cam Newton!
Yeah, and it's like
35. 100 points.
Fragged him. You fragged him good, bro.
We give him special power ups, right? Like we allow him to camp. Mm-hmm. That would be the best, is to allow someone to camp
the whole show.
Yeah, exactly. Like he just lurks the whole time and like leaps in whenever he wants, right? Like somebody just like he's like, that's wrong, bro. Whoa!
I'm calling an airstrike on Colin Kaepernick right now.
Actually, for on radio, it would just be like giving you a cool voice changer. That would be it. It'd be like, yo, dude, you get super bass for the next 30 minutes. This is awesome.
You get sniper voice. We're just going to turn your volume way, way down. It'll sound really cool.
Do you hear the hot takes that he drops? They're even more lethal when he drops them in.
See how far you have to lean in to see what the sniper is hitting you with.
It's the takes you don't hear that kill you. What are we talking? Holy shit! Is this? Can we talk about a game? I'm sorry. This is my fault. Let's. We talked about the team that didn't play.
Sure, that was it. We've covered so much hot non-action
teams that didn't play. Ryan, we talked about Bama and Georgia.
Okay, I want to back up. I want to back up and say I kept my promise for the noon games this Saturday. I said that there was almost no scenario in which I would watch a single snap of Kentucky Missouri, and I did it. I don't want to brag, but I didn't watch any of that game.
You know what? I kept my promise too because I swore that I would be tuning in to the banger of all bangers, Georgia Tech Duke. And lo, was I correct? Because Georgia Tech Duke ended up being a banger. It ended up being real good. Back and forth game. Duke falls behind. They roar back. It ends up being 38-35. Naturally, because Georgia Tech is a run first, triple option, flex bone kind of team. You know, they pass for 264 yards in CDs.
Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah, Justin Thomas, by the way, massive day that, like, very quietly, that very few people will even talk about because, you know, it's not PC, bro, Monty. But here in the dues, we drop all the hotness. He had 264 yards passing, and he rushed for 195. So my loyalty towards this game, the Nerds versus Dukes Aristocrats special, paid off. This was actually really fun to watch. So thanks, y'all. A game between a 3-5 and a 5-3 team. What's more ACC than that? Only that it was very entertaining. So I want to go ahead and pat myself on the back for being randomly right about a non-important game there. Way to go, Spence.
I'm proud of you.
Not in general, just specifically this.
Right.
This is the only thing we're proud of you for.
Right. You gotta start somewhere.
I watched Michigan State and just let the disrespect just wash over me like a cold blanket and just felt myself being lowered into the vat of disrespect.
Is this the part where we talk about Mark D'Antonio's math error?
I would love to discuss that, especially for somebody who can. Let's do this. The initial math error was having no Big Ten wins coming into this game.
Well, that I mean, I look at that as more of a systems engineering problem, not like a carry the one kind of thing.
Yeah,
but I see what you're saying.
There's that. There's a Kirk Ferentz field goal kind of situation, where after the game, again, just like last week, it was like, is Coach aware of, like, you know, 2 point, you know, like there's that, and then at the very end, this Michigan State scored with a second to go, and there was probably like a 0.0001 chance of actually coming out with the victory. Just go ahead, kick the field goal, then you're down by, I think it would have been six.
It would have been 6 point game. Yeah,
it would have been six. You'd still need a touchdown, which is almost impossible to do. You kick an onside, and I mean, does the clock not start if you recover an onside? I've never thought about that before, but would have been a hell of a way to find out.
I think the only way you can do it is, and this is me just making up rules, I think if you kicked an onside and it went off a Michigan player, then you could advance it, maybe, but that could be wrong too.
Maybe if a Michigan player caught it with 1 foot out of bounds.
Right. So, okay, here's what happens. Michigan player catches it, runs it back to the end zone, drops it. Michigan State recovers for the game-winning touchdown. Okay.
A double
That's
agent.
How That's how, yep.
You activate the sleeper cell. Okay. So you're counting on something like that. But instead, Michigan State chose to go for two. D'Antonio later said he was, you know, sending a mental message, which, okay, we're super tough. We're the Spartans. We're just super tough and never stop fighting, even though there was a sad field goal earlier in the game. Mm-hmm. But instead, the pitch was awry, and Jabril Peppers took those 2 points because he does not have enough of those on the year, apparently. And he got he got to dunk on the lowly, miserable, pathetic Spartans. I'm just trying to load them up with more disrespect for this year because this is all the hope that they have left.
So much disrespect. Remember Mark D'Antonio, basically a disrespect engineer? He can take a dry well with no disrespect in it and have it producing several thousand gallons of it per day. That's just how good he is at generating disrespect. Also good at generating disrespect, Michigan, because they continue to fuel the Michigan State rivalry by, one, not acknowledging it, two, not really making this the beatdown that it could have been. They definitely called the dogs off. And that's why it's a 32-23 game, when realistically this could have been like a 40-10 game. And finally, the last bit of disrespect, in case you doubt how bad it's been for Michigan State, which I don't think you do. Just so come over here on the Peninsula of Agreement in Concord with me and look at their record. They're 2-6. And they came in 0-4 in the Big Ten, and they leave 0-5.
There are two Big Ten schools that have given up more points in conference play than Michigan State. Those schools are Rutgers and Purdue. Yep.
Man.
So this is why the Big Ten added Purdue.
Yes, that's what it is. That's
yeah.
Listen, at least Purdue is showing a willingness to change.
At least Purdue has a Big Ten conference win.
Oh boy.
Illinois has a Big Ten conference win. Right now in the Big Ten East, Maryland and Indiana are both looking down at Michigan State.
That's mean.
Yeah, it's grim.
So, when do the Spartans play Rutgers? Because you got to circle that one on the calendar now. Okay, that's a couple week after weeks. This one.
Yeah, it's a home game though.
Beat Notre Dame though.
Oh my God, you're right. I totally forgot about that.
Notre Dame is up to 3-5.
Notre Dame won this week.
They're still tied for last in the state of Indiana rankings, I believe.
But
yeah, they beat Miami.
Listen, I said I was 51% rooting for Notre Dame, and Notre Dame won. You're welcome, Irish.
Yeah, Notre Dame did every damn thing it could to give this game away. It got a 20-point lead, and then I think muffed two punts, had an onside kick, and some other special teams shenanigans we couldn't even figure out. But, oh, man, they tried so hard to become 2-6 like Michigan State is, but failed and became 3-5 like Oregon and Ole Miss are.
The games that we referred to that were finally some undefeated teams chalking up losses. Clemson was not one of them. Clemson managed to actually dodge this bullet. They, at the night game special, they pull off a 37-34 win over Florida State. A really good game. I know that right now the thing to do would be to parse every single down of this game and try to find some weakness in Clemson, and they're there. Deshaun Watson enjoys turning the ball over, for instance, and Florida State managed to rush for a pretty good amount of yardage on them, albeit with a revived, rejuvenated, and extremely dangerous Dalvin Cook. And they also managed to, you know, pass a little bit when they were not literally peeling their quarterback out of a 3-inch deep divot in the turf, because Florida State's offensive line, they cannot pass protect against three happy schnauzer puppies. It's bad. Right now, DeAndre Francois is getting hammered. It's painful to watch. At one point, McGuire was warming up to come in because they weren't sure whether he could make it. But an entertaining game. I have no problem with this game. This is one of those games where you go, wow, I enjoyed watching that. I think both teams are just fine. And after the game, Jimbo Fisher, he got his money's worth, got fined $20,000 for saying that the refs were cowards.
Cowardly, wrong, gutless, a few other things. This was Jimbo's hottest rant ever. And in classic Jimbo fashion, it took him about 4 seconds to peel it off. That's $20,000 fine in 4 seconds. That is efficient, brother.
What I like about this was Jimbo made the very calculated decision to focus on one particular illegal block called against Florida State, which I think even the most Florida of Florida fans can say, yeah, that was kind of an iffy call. In real time, probably a harder one to make, but not one that you looked at and said, oh, definitely, that was the right call.
And if to be fair, ACC officials made a hash of this game. They did not.
They did.
They did not cover themselves in glory.
But here's what's smart. Florida State had 12 other penalties in this game. They are committing penalties and racking up penalty yardage at an alarming rate this season. They're up to almost 84 yards of penalty yards a game, which is third worst in the nation. Oregon, also, you're ahead of them in there in that category too. Good job.
Jimbo's coaching staff accrue another penalty immediately after that one. It wasn't really spelled out exactly what happened. People said it was on Jimbo, but it after looking at it, it doesn't seem like it was. He was definitely cussing, and he was way out on the field. He was playing free safety at one point.
Yeah, and on the final drive when Florida State looked like they were moving the ball in a good position to at least send the game to overtime, maybe win it, they kept racking up stupid penalties on the offensive line. And I mean, I get what Jimbo was saying, but it's sort of like if you lead the police on a highway chase, and at one point you're like, nah, that light was yellow. That one light, the one that I ran, that one was yellow. I did hit all those other cars. I did sideswipe all those other cars. That's true. And I did accidentally clip that dog. But other than that,
my wanted levels should be 4 stars, not 5. Why do you have tanks?
Right. Yeah, the tanks.
That's cowardly. Those tanks are cowardly.
Here, yeah. And the penalty was huge. Like, it dialed back a 40-yard run, I think, that would have set up in scoring position and would have added to Dalvin Cook's very deserving Heisman candidacy, Heisman finalist candidacy, at least. But you know, it was just one penalty, and then you made it worse. Not necessarily you, Jimbo. I know you listen. I know you listen, Jimbo. But, I mean,
we talk way too slow for Jimbo to listen to this show.
No, he's got one of them podcast apps where you can speed up to, like, 2.5.
God, I can only imagine what I sound like on that.
10 minutes.
Jesus.
Imagine that, y'all. You can be done listening to this in 10 minutes.
Yeah, the final thing about that Jimbo thing, it was called on a staffer. But cheers and kudos to the ACC official who, after pressing the issue on a bad performance, heard what he thought was some slight dissent from the sidelines and decided to just keep it rolling.
Yeah. Yeah.
Love that, like, you know, after throwing 13 flags and really making sure that you guys, this is the other thing, Jimbo had such a good, quick rant after the game that it's almost a shame he talked so fast that it ruined the delivery, because he said, yeah, you know, they made sure that, you know, the game is about them. Everybody's looking at them, which is my favorite thing about ACC refs, because they really are there. There's different kinds of bad officiating. Understand that SEC refs are just periodically negligent and incompetent.
Right.
Pac-12 refs are, they're there for art and for art's sake.
They're there because, like, what can I call here that has never been called before?
The Pac-12, it's like a theatrical artiste.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. We're into some, like, deep performance art shit. I'm never, ever bored watching the bad decisions of Pac-12 refs.
Whereas Big 12 refs are just...
They're just not there.
I think Big 12 refs just want to be over. They want to be out as soon as possible. So that's why... Every Big 12 game, they're like, yeah, forward progress. Yep, no, he was down. No, just keep playing. Just keep going, guys. We really need to speed this up.
We got to take a 15-minute review. Just to act like we're doing something serious.
This is not an hourly job. I knew we negotiated this the wrong way.
ACC refs, there's a real showmanship to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're there to control the game. They know that you're there not to watch football, but to watch outstanding officiating.
I think, has anyone ever complained about Big Ten refs? Like, I'm sure there's Big Ten fans who think, like, oh, our conference refs are the worst. Shut up. You have no idea what you're talking about. Like, I don't know how you pulled it off and your refs are fine, but...
I think the only thing Big Ten fans complain about is that you get all the calls when you're at home.
Yeah. Big 12
But that just seems like a courtesy thing, which is very Big Ten.
But Big 12 refs, I'm convinced the Big 12 refs are actually just a fitness support group.
Mm, CrossFit.
That's it.
That's why they also want to keep play moving. Like, no, every time we stop for a review, that's, you know, I'm getting out of anaerobic here. Somebody get the erg machine out here. I would love if Big 12 refs just got out rowing machines during every review.
That's how you actually get the chains. So you have to drag it there attached to a rowing machine.
It's like one of those companies where you have every meeting you have to plank the whole time just to ensure the meeting doesn't last more than a minute. You do that for every review. Put the screen like on the ground, I guess.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, but yeah, this is ACC refs, my least favorite. Just either my least favorite or my most favorite if Ron Cherry's doing it, because I give up on the notion that the game will have any rhythm whatsoever. or that the game will not completely be controlled by either the tick-tackiest or the most imagined of calls at all times.
Ron Cherry is a saint.
You said Ron Cherry's name, and I just can't help. Just brings so much joy. So much joy to my heart.
We'll go ahead and include it with the post, but remember, Ron Cherry did my favorite Vine-related call ever. He signals for a first down. He claps, extends his arm, and then the arm wiggles like
a motherfucking trebuchet.
It wiggles. It wiggles like seriously, like he's.
It is. No, it's like when Wile E. Coyote launches himself from a trebuchet, and it sort of has that wobble afterwards. Jason nailed it.
And it sort of looks like a tomahawk chop, but it was not an FSU game. It was a Miami Virginia Tech game.
You can hear it making the noise in my head, which is like that.
I love that man.
He's wonderful.
Yeah, he's great. I hate watching games. I think he's my least favorite referee of all time when he's not being my favorite, if that makes any sense. And my kid used to go to a school where one of the administrators was his daughter. She says, "Oh yeah, my dad calls games." And I said, "Well, what's your dad's name?" She goes, "Oh, my dad's name is Ron Cherry." And the look on my face must have been so horrified and conflicted all at once, because I remember thinking, I was like, "Oh my God." And then I was like, "I hope she doesn't try to decipher the source of my joy." Because it's really kind of a harm joy. Like, oh my God, your dad is the worst ref I've ever seen.
That's harsh. Say, like, I disagree with that. But if
you say, like, "I'm a ref, my name is this," and people are like, "Oh yeah, I know you." That's uh-huh. not good.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good if you're hockey-ly, and that's about it.
I should be like, "Who is your dad?" And they're like, "I don't know." And I was like, "Does he look like?" And then I start listing casual nicknames for refs, right? Like, Beef Ref.
Or, "Hi, my dad is Glasses Ref. That's his legal name."
I'm sorry.
That's what I call him.
Glasses Ref is the worst ref I've ever seen. Ron Cherry is my least favorite because of the way he calls a game.
But he's not utterly incompetent. Glasses Ref was fucking bad.
Glasses Ref was on acid, and that's what made him so good. Like, remember that there was a guy who made all of the acid in the United States? He was making it out of an underground lab. That's Glasses Ref. He disappeared, right? The feds were like, "Yeah, we found the guy who did it, and we arrested him." And then suddenly this guy pops up in the Pac-12 calling games with no idea what he's doing. That's Glasses Ref.
Didn't Glasses Ref call the Wisconsin Arizona State game that got all wonky?
Probably. Let's go ahead and blame him for it.
This is the shitty excuse to talk about Wisconsin Nebraska. You fell for it, you idiot.
Oh, God damn it.
I reeled you in. Nebraska, you have a loss.
Nebraska loss.
Congrats, Nebraska. You just made things easier for everybody. We appreciate that.
So moving along.
Another team that picked up one, West Virginia. Yeah, I know. The dream is alive. The dream is dead. Skylar Howard didn't have a real good game, got pressured. Oklahoma State's defense played really, really well. Their offense, just productive. Not particularly like spectacular, but really took advantage of mistakes on West Virginia's part. They went 37-20. West Virginia is now undefeated. They are now defeated. They have a loss.
Is Oklahoma State the one Big 12 team that it's like, yeah, we know what they're going to do pretty much every week? I mean, other than Kansas. Like, Oklahoma State, I guess you lose to Central Michigan. That's bad.
No, but
other than that, every result is, sure, that makes sense.
I talked about this with Dan on Wake Up this morning. That Central Michigan game possibly has fucking playoff implications now. Because if we're talking about an Oklahoma State team that otherwise has one loss and it's on the road at Baylor early in the season, and they run through the rest of the Big 12 schedule, and they have a non-conference win against Pitt, which, you know, it's Pitt. It's not like the jewel of your crown, but it's something. They're probably at least in the conversation, but you lost to Central Michigan on some bullshit, so you're probably done.
Tremendous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fire them up, Chips.
Remember, the MAC controls the crown at all times.
That game was Big 12 refs in a MAC review booth, if I recall correctly.
Right.
Might be the other way around, but
AFC South spotters, I believe.
Yeah. makes sense if it's a Big 12 crew because they thought, oh, just get it over with. Yeah, fine. They won.
Oh, whatever. Is,
if, we have a, if we have a team in the playoff, they're going to make us call it. That's not how it works. It might, it might be.
The Big 12's other representative, potential representative from an undefeated perspective, Baylor. Baylor lost. Thus solving so many problems at once and creating another, of course, because that's all Baylor does is make serious, huge problems. And, you know, turn a blind eye towards horrific gang rapes on campus. Yeah, that came out this week. Thanks, Wall Street Journal. No, seriously, thanks, since no one in Waco seems to be reporting on it. The Baylor-Texas game, Texas now at 4-4, Texas getting chance of Charlie, as he leaves the field, which is a nice thought. There's no way he's keeping that job. But they beat Baylor by 1 point, knocking them out of the picture. And further driving home the point that we're really wondering, like, why does the Big 12 exist?
Why? I don't think they know at this point. I don't think they can answer that. I think that's why they didn't expand. Is it's sort of like when they chose not to take expansion teams, it struck me as the sad man who is in a relationship but breaks it off because, like, it's never going to work long term. This isn't going to go anywhere. We're not going to get married.
Anyone else down
like
here.
I like you and you like me, and so it's better if this just ends now.
So it's like the Big 12 shouting to Houston and Cincinnati, like, it's too late for me. Save yourself. Stay in the American Athletic Conference.
Maybe you can get Pac-12 membership.
Cincinnati. Good luck with that, Cincinnati. Tell them you're in Australia.
To BYU, they're just like, I don't know. You do what you do. I don't know how you feed yourself.
I don't know you.
Yeah, you should know this about Cincinnati. Just a quick side note. Currently 4-4, 1-4 in conference, and lost to Temple 34-13. That thing where Tommy Tuberville's trying to get back to the SEC. I don't think it's happening. I think this is like Inception.
Hey, hold up. Temple's a respectable school. Temple's done things recently. You know who Cincinnati didn't lose to this week? South Carolina.
Oh. Ryan,
speaking of a former Cincinnati head coach.
Our boy did it.
Yeah.
He did it.
Our sweet idiot boy.
Who is now 0-5 against Will Muschamp all time?
Tennessee has never beaten this idiot child. Tennessee can't beat Mongo.
Tennessee is 0-4 against Mongo.
0-5.
0-5, yeah. Yeah.
0-5. Yeah, exactly. You know what? Just for Will Muschamp, if you take those 5 wins and you add them to 0, that's still 5 wins. That's real good.
Yeah.
I'll do the math for you, Mongo.
Josh Dobbs. Go ahead, please.
I was almost pulling for him. Almost. Like, at the end of that game. Because this came down to one of those punt or go for it scenarios to run out clock. Mm-hmm. And watching Will Muschamp and Butch Jones both collectively refuse to think or act at the end of a game is magnificent.
Yeah.
It was awesome. Like, they could have, you know, let's try to win the game with a play here. Nope, neither one. Let's try to block the punt. No, should we? No, just complete.
It's a Lincoln Douglas debate where both sides are mad they can't strangle the other one with the microphone cord. What do you mean I just have to talk? Ugh!
In poker, I check. Well, I check. Well, you check. Well, I check.
Sir, we haven't even... You're not even sitting at the table yet.
I don't sit. I do my best thinking when I stand.
Josh Dobbs got outdueled by Jake Bentley, who is like 15 years old. Is that correct?
He is. Yes. He is supposed to be a high school senior right now. That's not a joke.
He
skipped his senior year of high school to beat Tennessee in football.
Born November 23rd, 1997.
Wow.
Wow. So, yeah.
There are Joe albums older than he is.
So Tennessee just lost to a quarterback who is almost as old as their last national title.
Wow. Ooh, God. Yeah, so things are going good, Butch Jones, right? I mean, what's really special about this is Tennessee fans, more so than anybody else, spent... I think Tennessee fans were possibly angrier than LSU fans about what happened with the Florida-LSU game, when it, especially when it looked like it might not happen at all. They were like, no, you got to play that game. They all count, and, you know, you're just trying to dodge it so you can sneak your way into this. Well, maybe you should have focused on your own schedule there, Tennessee. That's all I'm saying.
Florida just says, eh, guess we won't play that after all.
Tennessee, too busy peeking over to the other urinal, seeing what you're doing, pissed all over yourself.
Actually, no, Florida still does need that because you have to hold off Kentucky.
Oh, yeah, but that's a totally different issue. Yeah, Kentucky wasn't the one mad that Florida wasn't playing LSU.
I know. No, so, I was just proposing that you cancel it again out of spite, even though it's against the rules. But just be like, well, fuck the rules.
Let me
who
say,
are you going
right,
to send Kentucky? Like, call their bluff. Say like, are you really going to send Kentucky to your biggest game of the year?
Here, let me go ahead and say this. Yes, we should. I like Florida football. I'm a Florida fan. I don't always show it in healthy ways, and I think a lot of people think it's bullshit, and that's fine. But I'm totally fine with Kentucky winning the East this year.
Yeah, same, because guess what Kentucky gets to do? They get to play Alabama.
And I hope that would, in my heart of hearts, I want that game to be so bad that the playoff committee looks at it and says, oh, well, this is the championship game? SEC's not that good. And drops Alabama to, like, third.
Even though Jeff Long isn't doing the 8-second explanations of the rankings this year, I just want Jeff Long to pop up like, we felt that the elimination of the SEC's 13th data point provided Alabama with an insufficient body of work because they only had 12 data points on the year. Mr. Long, they played 13 games. Our records do not reflect that.
Did they? This game was not televised.
Did they really?
So yeah, Kentucky, take it. It's all yours, baby.
Yeah, well, I don't want, again, I don't want to watch Luke Del Rio under that pass rush.
Yeah, but
I will say this. You know what Luke Del Rio's got?
A win over Georgia. That you can name almost any Florida quarterback and they have that.
It's true. Yeah, he's got a win over Georgia this year. And that's despite completing a pass the other way. That's despite not looking too impressive at times. Doesn't really matter when you have a defense like that. And also, it doesn't really matter when you're a team as formless, inchoate, hot, like the hot and formless and nonsensical, like the early beginnings of a universe, Georgia fan. Let me just take you to the Neil deGrasse Tyson vibe here.
Ooh, you're talking evolution to Georgia fans now.
A comet is intentionally thrown out of bounds. And when it is, Spencer, Georgia football is formed.
You're telling Georgians that the Earth is more than 6,000 years old. Careful, brother.
Journey with me to 300 years ago when the Earth was formed. Man.
Jesus,
in a spaceship.
As Jesus preaches to the dinosaurs.
In a spaceship that looks like a Yeti tumbler.
As Vince Dooley descended from Mount Sinai.
Yeah. And threw this in the air like a bone, and thus did that bone become a spaceship that shaped like a beautiful and expensive cooler. We go to your team, yes, forming in the early Kirby Smartian period, when they decided that they couldn't run the ball with Nick Chubb.
When the Earth was formed in the year 1980.
Yeah.
as Moses wandered the Earth, he too could not find the end zone.
Yeah, that's just like Nick Chubb, just like the Georgia offense. This was your usual unbearable cocktail party. I hate watching this game. Everyone should.
Especially I watched so much of it. I watched more of it than I am comfortable admitting.
It's time for a little Price is Right over under. Number of carries Nick Chubb had on the day, Jason.
I didn't watch a second of this game. I'm going to be quite honest.
I was
watching Baylor, Texas. Pew, pew!
How many carries do you think Nick Chubb had?
13.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they didn't have the ball very long.
I know the answer to this, so I'm not gonna.
Okay, so you refrain. Jason, you're over. Yeah,
that seems bad. Oh, the one highlight I did see was Jacob Eason from 55 yards away. He beamed that end zone pylon.
The pylon, yeah, he nailed it.
Yeah, This was Georgia's worst offensive performance since, I believe, the Goff era.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, they had
1996 against Kentucky, and it was like a 4-7 Kentucky or something.
Not
like
a good Kentucky team. No, this was 8 first downs. This was 164 total yards. This was preseason Heisman candidate getting 9 carries for 20 yards.
Hey, but at least he had more carries than Georgia had punts. It was only one more, but it was more. So there's that.
This is... Wow.
Yep.
So it was Georgia-Florida, at least for one team. Florida declined to play Georgia-Florida. Florida just played sort of a normal football game from the sounds of it.
Yeah, I think that's pretty accurate.
Yeah, you know, just a procedural, man. Just a procedural.
Hey! Georgia gets to play Kentucky next.
And that's important. Division title hopes.
These teams are going in two different directions. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, and it's not the one that you would, in any realistic world, assume was Kentucky. And it is Kentucky. Somehow Kentucky, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's just run some numbers here, okay? Kentucky, about a month and a half ago, probably one of the worst teams in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in anything.
They were losing Conference USA games.
You know your kickball team where you can never get enough players and you have to forfeit? Kentucky was worse than that.
What if the SEC East champion has a Conference USA loss?
Then
that's who would be surprised?
Oh, wait. This is easy. Western Michigan takes the SEC East spot.
That'd correct.
Would anyone That'd have a fine. Problem with that at this point, even if you are a fan of one of the teams involved? If the choice is, even if Kentucky wins the SEC East, and woo, yay, Mark Stoops, you're a hero, wouldn't you rather see Western Michigan play Alabama than three-loss Kentucky? Kentucky already played Alabama. It didn't go great.
Yeah, I'm going to sit there. You know what? If that happens, if Kentucky ends up playing Alabama, I'm going to appear in the front row wearing a blue linen shirt, white pants, and a mask made of the "It Means More" woman. And a
56-9.
Wow.
It just means.
They'll catch me in the stands, and I'll just sit there, and I'll just go, whatever.
It's
whatever
really,
it is.
It's really satisfying to start to twist that into how sad that is. Because, like, if you're a Georgia fan, and this means more to you, oh my God. What is, the choices you have made.
Yeah, the original problem with the ad was that, like, are you sure it means more? I mean, mm-hmm. Ohio State has 100,000 people at a fucking spring practice, and you have, like, the monopoly on crazy college football fandom. But now it's like,
now
this
it's
means
like,
more to you, huh?
Oh, Tennessee, that meant more to you. You invested. It's basically calling out people who invested poorly.
You care a lot about this, huh?
You had how much in Enron? Ooh, buddy. It does mean more to you. You're right.
Yeah, I was just going to say it should mean more to Big Ten fans, because what else are you going to do in Ohio?
Aww.
I mean, what else? Really? Like, they at least showed the SEC ones, and they say, oh, there's a boat. People go out on boats, and they go out and do stuff outside. What are you going to do in Ohio most of the year? Right? You can't even do all that fun woodsy stuff they do in Wisconsin, like, you know, ritual murder and deer hunting. No, they you're just outside and it's gray and it sucks.
And ritual deer hunting murder.
Yeah. What are you going to do? You're going to watch the Cavs? Be honest, you didn't do that before 8 years ago.
Boy, this is just...
Wow.
You know,
we got
this
an Atlantan calling out bandwagon sports fans.
This is your...
Well,
let me tell you why
they're all tied together.
Oh, God.
Let me tell you why the Cavs and the Browns and the Buckeyes are actually all part of this, like, virtue circle jerk that I base my life on.
You did just say virtue circle jerk, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And waited for it to sink in.
Great.
How they're all just basically manifestations of my geographical virtue that I've arbitrarily drawn. They all fight together to represent this kind of working class myth.
Yeah, we have the worst NFL team. A basketball player was born here, and our team drafted him, so he was obligated to come back. And we have a racist baseball team. So
it just means more, is what I'm trying to say.
Just more here in Ohio.
Ohio, it just means more.
This is your best World Series slander yet.
Yeah. Oh, I can't wait. It's great. When does that start?
Another undefeated team, though, that has boats and is still doing good. Washington. They had their flat game. Jake Browning didn't look great in this game.
There's two undefeated teams that have boats, by the way.
What's the other one?
Well, Bama. Bama's got boats.
Oh, well, no, I was gonna say three. We got three teams because one gets road.
Oh, Western Michigan. Yeah, sure, that's my mistake. That's my mistake. Right? I'm sorry. That's a metaphorical boat, right?
Oh, okay.
I don't know. It might be real.
But yeah, Washington did have their off game. And still beat a very talented and very tough Utah team on the road. A win that, in all honesty, they probably won't get enough credit for, because I would hate to play Utah. Like, if they were in my conference, that's a team that I despise facing, because I'm never really going to be wowed by their athleticism, and I am going to absolutely hate how tough and nagging they are. Because this is a team that took Washington, you know, to the wire and got beaten on a special teams play. Basically. So congratulations to Utah on being just pissanty and frustrating enough to almost take out the best Washington team in, like, what?
25 years.
Yeah, 25 long time.
Years.
Long time. I mean, not nearly as recent as South Carolina's quarterback was born, but
the one who beat Tennessee.
National champion contender. Week two, national championship contender Tennessee.
Yeah. The one who gave Tennessee its third straight loss.
But Utah might get a rematch against Washington because they got to get past the Pac-12 South. Makes no sense, and I love it. It's really, really fun right now. UCLA is terrible. Arizona, everyone is dead. Stanford won, by the way, Jason. Just so we're clear.
Did Stanford get around to winning a game?
They did. Yeah, they. Christian McCaffrey awoke from his slumber.
He scored three road touchdowns. His career road touchdowns total is now three, as I understand. My favorite thing about the Pac-12 South is USC is setting up 2017 hype, because freshman quarterback Sam Darnold has turned this team around and is like top 10 in passer rating all of a sudden after getting the midseason call up. So prepare for top 10 USC in next year's rankings.
That's right. They're gonna finish like what, 9-3 this year, maybe 8-4, and then they're going to get all that hype, and next year they're gonna be 8-4.
Oh my God! Hold on. Do you know who 2017 USC opens their schedule against at home?
Who?
Western Michigan. I'm not even making this up.
Well, there's one loss.
Oh God. USC also plays Texas next year, so gosh. You're gonna have to play PJ Fleck one way or the other. That's pretty exciting.
You might play him twice. He's gonna keep both up.
Yeah, you can do both. Yeah, he's got the energy to do it.
Yeah, and they got the Notre Dame game on there too, so make it three, shit.
Yeah. The law firm of PJ and Fleck taking all the cases next year. The other notes for teams, I would, you know what, they're not, it's not a game that's going to make a difference in the national title picture. No, it's not one that's really going to make a difference either in a Power 5 game, but it's one that has this gift that's open on my computer. It's a yellow spandex clad ass just rotating over and over again with its hands clasped above its head, begging for a safety. That would be live from Powder River, Wyoming. Wyoming, a team that has been so bad, so atrocious, and has dug through such a long period of mediocrity. 22 games against ranked opponents. prior to this that they had not won in 22 tries against ranked opponents. 4-0 in conference, 6-2 overall after a 30-28 victory over Boise State, where they got one of the most satisfying football achievements possible. They won a game on a safety.
A game-winning safety.
On extremely Craig Bowl.
What?
Extremely Craig Bowl. Craig Bowl, Jason, book people up on in case they don't know who Craig Bowl is.
Craig Bowl, the former Nebraska coordinator and North Dakota State head coach who came to Wyoming because it was basically the only FBS program comparable to North Dakota State in terms of remoteness. I don't know why, if that's why he did, but it made sense. And, man, after two rough years, he has built this team up to kind of what we hoped. And it is awesome to see. Like, I know Godfrey is Wyoming is kind of his – well, I guess kind of his actual favorite team, since he despises his alma mater, which seems to be a lot of that going around.
We'll get to them. It's fine.
But yeah, I mean, I think we all have sort of a fondness for Wyoming just because it's such a weirdo program. And it is cool to see, man. And like after the game, he's in the post-game scrum, fans all over the field. He throws up the North Dakota State hand sign, throws it back down like, oh, whoops. he's mobbed by fans and disappeared. And this is actually the first time Wyoming had ever beaten Boise State. They were 0-10 all time, and now they lead that division. Like this was my favorite win of the weekend.
Absolutely, like just pure joy, winning by a safety. Watching Wyoming, one of the most brutal run first, head down, drive blocking. Paleolithic offensive schemes that you could possibly use in college football against Boise State. A great clash of styles. In addition to that, they got to do it on maybe my favorite end zone in college football right now, which is the Wyoming Western Panoramic end zone.
It's got mountains on it. It looks like a beer tank.
Yeah, it almost looks like an old Oregon Trail screen. It comes really close to looking like that on like an orangey and black LED monitor. So I don't know. This was fun. This was one of the things where I watched and I was like, okay, this was a really fun weekend. I can take great joy from this though, because
but this wasn't the greatest joy giving experience of the weekend.
Well,
Boston College got a conference win, motherfuckers.
How did I know you were going someplace even dumber than where I thought you were going?
Let's dude the fuck out of this.
Dudes.
I didn't watch this game, so I can't say. I mean, why would I watch a Boston College game?
This is Vine Star. I couldn't even say it. Honoring the death of Vine.
His preferred recruiting medium.
If you haven't looked up his Vine account, please do that. Please look up Steve Adazio Vine. It'll give you life.
Yeah. The only thing I took away from this game, the ACC is a very good conference. I think it's probably the best conference in college football this year overall. But I do like that it is still a conference where NC State can take Clemson, current playoff participant prohibitively, to the wire, go to overtime because they miss a field goal, and in very short order turn around and lose to a not very good Boston College team. It's still got a little hint of that real ACC to it. It hasn't completely shaken that off.
I like that old ACC. 5-7 ACC.
Punt for the gold ACC.
Yeah, NC State went from like, oh shit, this team's actually good, to, oh shit, this team.
Yeah, they're 4-4, and if you think they're going to win two games left on their schedule, it means that you really, really don't want good things from Miami, and I respect that.
I would also point out before we leave, Houston, though, snapped out of it. They were down 21-3 to UCF. They pull away. Greg Ward scores 3 TDs, so they can pull out of that 31-24, pull out of that tailspin, so Tom Herman could look extra pretty for that Texas job interview, which he's undoubtedly already taken. And the other sort of comeback, come from behind, Louisville.
Yeah, they had.
that's all that needs to be said. It's fine.
Yeah, I dropped you for a second, so I was like, I don't think they can hear me.
No, we could. You almost lose to UVA. It's better for you if we don't talk about it, right?
It's better if no one notices.
The nicest thing we can do for Louisville is not really talk about this. I mean, Lamar Jackson got his numbers, and that's good.
I think the cool thing about this for Louisville is, Lamar Jackson made the winning play, so it gets to be Lamar Jackson's high moment, because, he ran up all the numbers, but, his there wasn't that single clutch play, that game-winning play. Like, he was clutch against, he's clutch against Clemson and just didn't convert to a W, but, all of his best highlights was, oh, look at this sick juke, look at this hurdle, this spin move or whatever. There wasn't that single play that...
Just see if you can
old Heisman voters would really
just see if you can green screen UVA out of it. Like, make it look like you're in the Avengers or something.
Yeah, that's the thing. Just make it happen real fast and just game winning.
I don't know what happened there.
Against whom? I don't know.
It happened too fast. Probably Virginia Tech.
Not any one of five plays that he made against Clemson. A team they lost to, but that he looked dazzling against. Nope, we need one big old home run swing against the Wahoos. Good job. That and in this game, if you watch Louisville's offense, their wide receivers, they catch touchdowns. They also drop them.
Yep.
Yeah, sometimes they catch touchdowns.
Sometimes they tip touchdowns the other way. Sometimes they just drop the ball completely. Sometimes, I think next year, now, he has to come back, correct?
He's stuck with us for another year.
Yeah.
I assume he's going to be the person that we trot out our annual, should so-and-so just sit out the season column for?
Yeah.
Okay.
And the answer is no, because I still don't think anyone can catch him next year. I don't, unless he has a car accident on the field, which, innovative strategies.
Well,
he might be full of them.
Bobby Petrino might be driving a motorcycle down the middle of the field. You never know.
John might be doing burnouts with the Camaro, lose control of the car.
Luckily, Bobby will be at the USC job, so you'll be safe.
That's true. Just has to worry about John Schnatter.
Oh, so Bobby Petrino is going to lose to Western Michigan. Cool.
Yeah, got to institute some new systems, man. PJ's just going to come in and they're all on the same page. Remember, it's a team sport, not an individual one. Got 22 men who all know what they're doing. You row that boat together, son. Oh my God, he's infectious.
He's inside. Yeah. He's inside you.
Yes, he's inside all of us. It's like inner space.
Your boat has been rowed.
He's in the suit. He's in my suit.
He's inflectious.
He's, oh God.